He's got a little bit of room. Three on three going in. He chips it in behind Gilmore. Back in. Put up. In. Austin Cangelosi with the game winner in overtime. What a play.
In the game, Seedham will carry the puck behind his net and wait out the buzzer. They're on their feet here at the Covelli Center. And ladies and gentlemen, the Youngstown Phantoms are the 2018 Eastern Conference champions. They're going to the Clark Cup Final.
Welcome, hockey fans, to another edition of Hockey People on the Computer Getting Coffee, brought to you by Duncan. I'm Voice of the Phantoms, Matt Lipsack, and the man here with me needs no introduction whatsoever. He's Phantoms head coach and general manager, Brad Patterson. Brad, how are you, sir?
Great. Great to see you. Great to be talking hockey.
Absolutely. So, Brad, let's not keep the fans waiting. What, if anything, do you know about the start of the 2021 USHL season?
Yeah, same as we've talked about. I know me and you offline have talked numerous times, but plan is our guys will be reporting early September, go through a couple-week training camp, some exhibition games, and then season would be starting end of September, start October. And that's been a consistent plan throughout, and that's the plan right now.
So USHL Fall Classic still seems like all systems go. Obviously, I'm not going to hold you in anything.
Yeah, and everything that I'm getting, yes, we were in Pittsburgh for camp, which we'll talk about here shortly. Mm-hmm. But the message coming out of Pittsburgh and the people that we know that are kind of connected to the facility and different aspects of that tournament is it would still be a go. So I think we're in a good spot.
All right, fans, you heard it from the man himself, but hey, everything's subject to change this day and age. So, Brad, you mentioned Phantoms camp a couple weekends ago down at Printscape Ice Arena in Washington, PA. What was your overall impression of camp?
I thought it went great. And I kind of look at it in two different phases, I guess. The first one that we're all living with right now, as far as, you know, the unknowns of going into a camp situation like that and, you know, kind of being the first time through it with some protocols that, you know, we were adhering to. And, you know, I think our organization did an exceptional job, as well as the rink there, you know, following basically guidelines that were given us from the health department and carried on throughout camp. And I think it was seamless for everyone involved. You know, numerous comments from players and parents about how smooth it was in comparison to some other things that they had done recently. So that was definitely refreshing. And going into camp, that was probably one thing that, you know, the unknown of it, that's the hard thing. When you get to the hockey aspect, I thought it was great. The competition level, just the excitement of guys being around it. You know, we had some really long days. You looked at, I won't get into the exact schedule we do, but we have a goaltender camp that takes place kind of the first 2 days, and then you get into games, and you know, we had to get a lot of games, and they were great hockey games, but at the same time, when you're in a rink from 8 a.m. until 11 p.m., on a normal situation, you're probably a bit leery of that. And to be honest, our whole staff is excited to do it from game one to game six each day. And I think that same level of excitement was felt from the players, you know, just getting back into that environment and missing it so much over, you know, the period of time that we didn't have the game. And I thought it showed off in the players, and I thought there was a good push from all parties involved looking for roster spots, whether that was young guys, you know, from 04s that we drafted or free agents all the way to the 20-year-olds in both of those situations as well. And I'm very happy with what we have coming up camp.
Got to talk to Chad Veltri last week. He said he was able to stop by camp. Any other names we might know get to pop in and say hello about down at camp?
We didn't have anybody else. I didn't realize it until we first start talking, and my thought process all the time going into a camp, it really, everyone's back to equal, and it's easier said than done, but you take your returners, you take your affiliate list kids, you take your draft picks, and then you mix in a bunch of, you know, high level free agents. And we've always had successful guys that have come into camp that we know who they are, but for whatever reason, weren't draft picks. Come in and play significant, you know, significant piece of our puzzle, I guess. And often those guys you need. And as I was saying, and I looked across, I saw Chad Veltri, and Chad was no different. The year before we actually acquired him, we were looking to try to bring him back in and join us in September. And for whatever reason, it didn't transpire, but he's a guy we didn't select, but ended up being a backbone for our team on a very good run, with a very good group of guys. And the message to everyone coming into camp is, you know, you have an opportunity. It's what you do with it. You got to kick the door down to earn it. And I felt a couple guys did that throughout our camp.
And of course, Chad had a great freshman season with the Niagara Purple Eagles this past year. Speaking of, you know, returning players, saw on Instagram, Jake Swade and Caleb Price tried their hand at giving some interviews. I have to question their microphone technique. You got to keep the microphone away from the guy's face, not stick it in their nose. Guys, that doesn't work that way. But other than their questionable microphone and interview techniques, how did the returning players look? Other than Jake Swade, Caleb Price, who else from last year's squad might folks have recognized?
They were all great. You know, it doesn't matter who you want to talk on. You touch on every one of those guys. They came in great shape. And really, the things that we pride our program on, those are the things that I wanted them to display. You know, I didn't care so much. I did care, but I didn't. You know, you don't need to come in and score 5 goals. I need you to come in and set the bar. So set the bar how we compete, set the bar how we act, all that sort of stuff. And to get that out of the group that we have coming back, it was really exciting. You know, when you look at them, you know, they're all going to be key pieces for us moving forward. And I'm excited to get them back in September because I know they're going to, you know, steer the ship for us.
How did the phase one picks look that got to come into camp? I did see that Adam Izell was in camp. How did your first round pick look at training camp a couple weeks ago?
So phase two pick Adam was great. You know, from the drop of the puck, you saw his, not only the things that he does extremely well, but you just saw the experience. You saw him filter right in and make guys around him better. He's so cerebral. He's smart with the puck. He's good in dirty areas. He's good in the hard areas. He's good in transition, like all the things that you want. And he displayed it all weekend. So it was great to, you know, although you communicate in this day and age, especially this year, that's been the challenge, right? You don't really get that FaceTime. Well, I guess not. I guess it is FaceTime.
This is FaceTime, but yeah, I understand what you mean.
And to get here and, you know, one of the drawbacks of camp, and it has nothing to do with Adam, but one of the drawbacks is I couldn't have as many, say, interactions or as much, you know, face-to-face, one-on-one type meetings, you know, not only due to the busyness and the schedule that we had, but also, you know, some of the requirements that were needed. And, you know, it's tough to do that, but, you know, all my interactions with him as well as the other guys were terrific. I'm really excited about him. I'm sure our fans will be as well once they see the type of player he is, as well as some of these other guys.
Now, obviously, there were some players who weren't able to make it to camp because of quarantine regulations and visa regulations. Can you touch on that a little bit?
Yeah. So with when our camp was, we kicked off, it was the 28th of July. And for a lot of the Canadian players, for them to come down to go back, that time period between after camp and joining us again in September, you would need a 14-day quarantine. And to me, although I'd love to have them here at camp, you know, I look at it from a personal development standpoint for them, that's not doing them any justice to come to camp for 5 days and then go home and sit around for 14. And there was a couple guys that did come down as far as free agents, but you know, with some of the guys that we knew would be coming back in September, it was hey, let's just wait this out and we'll get you in September. And although that sucks from an aspect of, like I mentioned with Adam or the rest of camp, you know, not having maybe as much personalized communication and kind of getting to know one another, I'm confident in what we know about these guys and confident that they're going to fit into the big picture for us. And I'm really excited to see them here in a couple weeks.
Now, obviously,
sorry to cut you off. I know you were touching on all the different import players. We have some guys from overseas as well, and, you know, returners and draft picks. And that process is a little bit different. It's not so much as driving or flying, you know, a couple hours down across. It's, you know, it's a big time commitment. It's a bit of a financial commitment to get them over. And at times like this, they also need some visa requirements, and that's stuff that we're dealing with right now and going through to make sure that we can get these guys over. And I think we're in a good spot.
Yeah, obviously it's not Ben Schoen, you know, driving 4 hours to Pittsburgh from Toledo. This is, you know, kids got to cross borders. Sometimes in the case of, you know, a couple of our Asian guys, they have to get on, you know, 15, 16 hour flights to get here. And it's not an easy thing to do.
Yeah. And that's, you know, you look back at last year with our camp last year and Yusako Ando coming over, we've talked about what a story it is for him to come over as, you know, he was known, but we didn't really see him being with us this year. It was probably like a, this, you know, a 2021 type scenario. And for him to make the journey across seas for the 15 hours, not really speak the language. Like there was a lot of things that went into play there, and for him to do as well as he did at camp was really an eye opener. You know, when you start to look at all that stuff, it's when you don't know the backstory and you're just seeing the players on the ice, it's, I don't want to say it's easy to evaluate, but when you start to piece in those things, you know, they often can tell a little bit better story. Or you know, Ando didn't come with, the plan was all along that, you know, Yusako wasn't going to come over for camp. We know what he is. We know what he's going to contribute, and he'll be a key piece for us this year. With Kento Isagai, the plan was he was going to come over. And then, you know, with some of the flight cancellations and things going on, we ended up not doing that, but he will be back if everything goes well here in September.
You mentioned eye openers, of course, when Georgi Merkulov joined the Phantoms in the middle of the season last year. He opened a lot of eyes all across the USHL. I think he had points in his first 10 or 11 games. And, you know, Georgi, unfortunately, he hasn't been able to go back to Russia at all summer. Hasn't he been here in the States the whole time?
Yeah, he, right after the season, I think we might have talked about this last time we talked, but right after
maybe
the season,
a little, yeah,
he went back to Detroit and lived with Aiden Gallagher and his family, who you know, were tremendous to him. I know Georgi came back first or second week of July, and I drove him. He's been down in Maryland training. And when I drove him back, just the appreciation level that he had for Aiden and his family, you know, it speaks a lot about who Aiden is. You know, we saw him all the time. So there's a big thank you that goes out to him and his family for that. And then he's been down in Maryland training. And when I say training, everyone trains. They don't train like Georgi does. He is, you know, I can't speak highly enough about him. He goes to work every day to get better. And that's his only mindset. It doesn't matter where he is. It doesn't matter who he's with. And that's what's so exciting about him and why he's going to have such a bright future. You know, and to be able to spend some time with him over the course of the summer. And then he was back, although he's a little bit sour because I did beat him in a game of post, I think we played. But I got to throw that in.
I was going to ask I saw the video on Instagram on Training Tuesday for the Phantoms. And I got to say, you smoked Georgi and Ethan. That was great work.
It's funny because Georgi couldn't speak much when he first came over, but as soon as it was done off camera, he's like, "Coach, that's fine. You beat me in a game of post. I was scoring." You know, like he was in the top quarter. He wasn't worried about the post. So, but no, he was at camp as well. It was tremendous. You know, his attitude, his work rate, his skill speaks for itself. Without the other stuff, he's still an elite player, but he has all the tools, and he's going to have an extremely bright future, I think. You know, with the scenario of how pro hockey's kind of transpired over the course of the summer, you know, it might be, it's probably a year away, or it will be a year away for him, but he's going to have every opportunity, and he's deserved it, and he's earned it.
You know, you and I are speaking here in the middle of August. The NHL draft should have been 2 months ago. Ben Schoen was potentially going to get his name called in that draft. How do you think that affected maybe his preparation for the NHL draft, and how did Ben look at camp?
I think Ben attacks it the same way all the time. He's not any different than what we're just talking about as far as Georgi. He's hockey, and if it's not on the ice, it's off ice. You know, he's doing something to get better, and I think you know, last year he had a limited year based on the injury early, which was terrible, but you know, to me, he's a no-brainer. He's an NHL pick, and I think, you know, if there was any question marks on him from the limited viewing, I guess you would call it, last year, you know, and I know a lot of teams saw him because they were knocking on our door after the game all the time to talk about him. But with guys like that, it's probably a motivational tool. You know, he he's saying, oh, you know what, the draft could be in October. Not that he wouldn't have pushed himself through the summer, but I tell you, seeing Ben last week, he looked like he probably put on about 15 pounds of good weight, not the 15 that me and you probably put on during COVID.
Let's not talk about it, okay? Because I need to go clothes shopping right now.
But, no, Ben, he looked great, and I was excited to see that. And then seeing him on the ice, he'd taken another step. You know, there's no question. And I can't wait to see him back in action. He was tremendous for us, you know, down the stretch, you know, until things shut down. And expectation is he will be again, you know, going into year three. But he's a huge asset to our organization on and off the ice, and I can't wait to get him back here. And then you kind of talking on the draft, and we're talking about camp, like our one of the big things for us coming out of camp, or even partway through camp, probably after day one or day two, was you know, our 04 list I thought was tremendous. Like our camp was a little bit younger. There's a lot of junior camps going on right around now, and often older guys will do a USHL camp. Things don't work out, they'll end up at an NA camp, excuse me, with some of those going on right now. It was a little bit younger, but our 04 list I thought was phenomenal, top to bottom. The guys came in, and if you didn't know Berthiers, you wouldn't have known. And that's a huge credit. You look, Jeff Potter does so much work throughout the course of the year and identifying players like that. And, you know, as exciting as it is to see those guys, you really, you know, you pat those guys on the back. Casey Kelsering does a lot of work for us. Just identifying those talented players that we think would fit into our culture and how we like to play, and then seeing them show up and do it immediately was, you know, it was really nice to see. And, you know, definitely excited about some of those guys. We might not see a bunch of them all year, but we'll, you know, at points over the course of the year, my expectation is we'll see quite a few of these guys in for a couple games. I think everyone will be excited when they do see them.
You know, speaking of, you know, guys that, you know, we haven't got to see yet, you made a trade on draft day, got a couple guys from the Sioux City Musketeers. How did they look at camp?
Yeah, one, Gucciari's a Canadian defenseman. He's one of the players that I referred to earlier as far as knowing, hey, like, we know he's going to be back in September, you know, not hampering the development aspect of him personally by, you know, putting him in a situation where, you know, he'd have to go back. And that was something that he was actually looking at doing. And that's the type of player and the mindset that he has, just, you know. But so we didn't get to see him, but we know we'll see him in September, and I'm really excited about him. I think he's going to play some big minutes for us on the back end. He's got offensive flair. He's got jam in his game. He's got grit. He's got a little bit of everything, and that's why we were proactive in trying to acquire him. And then Jaden Grant, guy from similar area to a lot of our guys in Detroit. He was able to get to camp, and he was great. You know, you could see the experience, and I loop him when the same as our returners. You know, those guys have been in the league. They know what it's all about. They know what it takes. And that's another reason why we brought him in. I think he's multifaceted. He can play up and down your lineup. He's smart. He's got a bigger body. He'll be a big piece for us. And, you know, both of those guys, you know, when we looked at acquiring them, we both, you know, our whole entire staff, we're very excited, because I think they'll play significant pieces for us.
All right, Brad, so what is next as far as camps go? So say the players are able to report the first or second week of September, how many are we bringing in, and what's next?
Yeah, we generally – so that's actually a great question. And one of the challenges this year, you know, being in this time and space, I guess, you know, with what's going on in the world, was we usually have our camp in June. We narrow our group down to give or take about 30. We bring 30 guys back. We go through our training camp where it's a couple weeks. We get a couple exhibition games in, gearing up for the regular part of the year. Now, while that part doesn't change, you know, with our camp being pushed a little bit later, and some of these travel restrictions, we didn't leave camp with 30 players, because we also have, you know, we knew we had some players that couldn't get in because of travel. So we have a group that it's no different, of about 30 that were all at camp. They would be reporting in, and then you know, the plan right now is we'd get some games as early as the 10th, 11th of September against Muskegon, and then we have a couple the following weekend, and then that fall classic would fall right in, you know, within that week, week and a half after our last set of exhibition games. So that's the plan right now.
All right, Brad, let's talk a little bit of pro hockey before I let you go. So first round of the NHL playoffs are going on right now. I mean, Brad, what happened? We're looking at the first round of the playoffs without Austin Matthews, without Connor McDavid, without Sidney Crosby. What's going on in the pros?
Yeah, it's a tough bill as well. I'm a huge Edmonton fan growing up out west when they were in their dynasty. But I'm a little bit sour about that. But before we even get to that, what's going on? How exciting has it been and how awesome has it been?
It's been crazy. I love it. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, it's been big. That was probably the second part of camp that was a struggle for me. The first one was the interactions with everyone and kind of having to limit that and contact. And then the second one, we knew the NHL was starting up that same night. So it was on the Saturday night, so we knew we had an overlap. But regardless, it's just been exciting. I've been disappointed because Edmonton being out, but you know, the thing that I thought maybe there would be a little bit of a question mark was the compete level. Not that guys wouldn't want it, but how you ramp up that intensity and just, it's just turned on, you're in playoffs right away. And, you know, I didn't know how that was going to, you know, unfold. And it just shows you how, that's why these guys are professionals. You know, we preach that stuff to the guys all the day. You want to reach the next level, you need to show up and be consistent. And it's got to be consistent every day. And those guys go out and show it, like they take 5 months off and show up, and it is playoff, like it is intense. I think within the first 2 or 3 minutes of the first game, we had like a DVR, and we watched it when we got back to the hotel that night. And I just remember like a D stepping up and just burying one of the forwards early in the game, and was like, oh, okay, here we go. So that's been exciting to watch. And the competitive level, like I don't know if there's a favorite, you know, and doesn't matter that there was like the extra round of playoffs. To me, everybody's so equal, and that's, you hear me say that all the time about our league. There's never an easy game on or like an easy night, anything like that. And I'm excited about just seeing what happens. Maybe you see some teams that you don't see all the time, and just the parity in the league it's tremendous, and I just enjoy watching.
Yeah, I mean, you know, almost made me long for March Madness, a couple of 5-12 upsets. And, you know, you talked about the compete level. It certainly didn't look like the Pittsburgh Penguins were ready to compete, unfortunately. And, you know, Brad, I'm going to be entirely honest with you. I got a text message from Ariel McNutt in the Phantoms front office, said, you know, hey, can you come down to Washington and, you know, maybe do play-by-play of the All-Star game for camp? I said, Ariel, I took Saturday off. I'm sitting in front of my television. I'm watching hockey all day. I'm not doing it. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, I don't blame you. Although it would have been good to see it, I'm sure you would have enjoyed that.
I would have. I probably got some rust to shake off since I, you know, came up five home games short there at the end of the 2020 season. And, you know, before
than five, Matt. Come on.
Well, home games. I'm talking about home games. I know we had 12 games to go, but they weren't all at home.
Well, we plan to have a few more after that 12, Matt.
Okay, so that's fair.
If you're going to be a part of it, then I don't know what you're going to do.
that's fair. But, yeah, there's definitely going to be some rust to shake off of the pipes. I got to get my voice back into shape. That's for sure. I've got all this coughing going on right now. It's been a terrible summer for allergies. But, Brad, before I let you go, who's winning the Stanley Cup? Give it to me. Come on.
I'm going to pull for Columbus now.
Columbus?
Yeah.
The dark horse.
Not for any other reason. And that goes against the knockout pool I just signed up for yesterday. I had Vegas.
Okay. I'm telling Scott Mayfield you said that.
Yeah.
and two, Colorado looks tough.
Yeah, I just saw they have somebody tomorrow night, right? Yeah.
Colorado's playing Arizona. They shut them out in game one, 3-0, I believe.
Okay. I'm sure Scotty won't be too upset if he hears this. Me not picking the Islanders, but obviously that would be terrific. I like Columbus because they were counted out early in the year. You know, they lost so many guys last year, and obviously they went on that little bit of a run in playoffs. And now this year they're matched up against Tampa again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I like the underdog.
All right. Well, Brad, thank you for joining us here on Hockey People on the Computer Getting Coffee, brought to you by our friends at Dunkin'. I hope the next time you and I talk, it is in person. All right.
Sounds good.
All right, fans, we will catch you next time here on the show. Sound out. Fade to black.
See you, Matt.